Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, Tim. And
hello,
person eavesdropping. I am Guy, and I'm in a pretty good mood. I'm feeling pretty good. I've got my legs crossed. I'm sitting on the floor of Olive's bedroom. She's away. She's with her papa. And I'm on the blower to my friend Tim. And that's just how my situation is. That's where I'm at.
We're in lockdown, everybody. New Zealand has been imprisoned because of the COVID virus.
And there's that too, yes. We can't forget that.
Our socialist prime minister or communist, I can't keep track. She has imprisoned us in our houses.
Yes, Tax Cinder, as we call her, for her insistence on... taxing us to pay for our roads, banished us to our rooms, or our stepdaughter's rooms, as may be the case, and has forced us to watch more softcore pornography.
It's so grim at this stage of the season. Zoe was like, "What are you up to today?" I said, "Well, I'll have a cup of coffee. I've got to get to work, and then get through a few things, and then on to the more pornography." We watched Boogie Nights last night. I'd never seen it before.
So crazy. You should mention that, Tim, because I had tickets tonight before lockdown.
Oh, whoa.
The Hollywood, we're going to screen it on 35mm. And I didn't even know who I was going to go, but I saw it and I thought, I love the Hollywood. I want to support them. I've not seen Boogie Nights. I bought four tickets and I was ready to go. Obviously,
do you get a refund, or are you just going to let the chips ride on that one?
I'm letting the chips ride on that one while also paying. I'm refunding people for a comedy show I was going to put on tomorrow night, and I pay because of the ticketing service I use. I think I pay 50 cents per refund.
That shits me, eh? We shouldn't be paying. I've struck this in previous comedy festivals. We shouldn't be paying money for like cancelled tickets. It seems wrong to me.
I'm not going to lie, Tim. It hurts. It's the third time I've had to cancel this, a show, and all of the, cumulatively, it's not a huge cost, but I've probably paid like $7.50 to refund all of the tickets.
Oh, okay, yeah, that really isn't then.
I still do think. It's not that fun to be like, here you go.
I don't want to complain, but I have literally not complained at all since the start of this lockdown. I think we're up to day, 8, 9, something
10.
Like that now.
I think it's 10. Yeah, I think 10. It's 11.
Double digits, and I've been keeping pretty chipper, but I feel like this is a good time for me to... It is amazing how many things I had planned for when we went first into lockdown. It's like four comedy shows and my birthday party all just evaporate at once. It's crazy.
It's a stinger, man. And
two of them were out of town, man. One was in Tauranga. The other one was in Wellington. I was going to have such a good week.
Dude, you're telling me. The last podcast we put out, I announced
my national
tour. And then I literally had drafted up the copy and had my finger on the trigger to announce it on social media when I got a push notification from Radio New Zealand that said there is a case of COVID-19 in the community. And I thought,
wow,
I feel like my tour announcement is going to get overshadowed here. And so I didn't push anything. And now, I don't know. I actually have forcibly not thought about it because the lockdown keeps getting pushed out and I just think I can't do anything. So just don't even worry about it. It's none of my business at this point.
Honestly, bro, if it's a situation that's out of your hands, that is the approach, I think. If it's like, look, me worrying about this isn't going to change it at all, there's literally no point.
No. And do you know what? We've been generous to one another in that we've been in lockdown for what, 10, 11 days, and neither of us, you very tentatively sort of messaged me a few days ago.
I've needled you a couple of times.
And you said, hey, man, this podcast, what do we think about it? And so now here we are on a Saturday afternoon. Thunderstorms forecast, but no rain forthcoming. And fresh, hot off the heels of watching.
But just before we get into that, yes? Do you know the real salient bit for me? I don't know, you probably can't see it on the webcam. I was eating some chips before and I bit down on a bit of my mouth. And it's so weird how, like, when you bite into your inner cheek and then you keep doing it because it like swells up.
Mm.
So I'm in a state of annoyance, both from the film and a minor self-sustained injury.
Dude, understandable. Isn't it? Context is so important, isn't it? Because like, or just the timing of things, because you could be having a normal day and then you could accidentally bite down a little bit on your mouth and like everything that's bothered you in the last 6 months could just rise to the surface and be like, of course, this now. I'm actually really angry.
It's an insane design flaw that we can even do it.
I know.
Who made these things?
When's the last time you bit your tongue? How? Who put the tongue so close to the teeth?
We're going to get these guys apart. One of them is very, very hard and some of them are sharp. And the other one, he's a soft boy. It's
an incredibly
soft,
unlikely collaboration. And honestly, a miracle that they can work at such close quarters with so few incidents for so many people.
There should be a band called Tongue in the Teeth.
The Tongue in the Teeth. And 9 out of 10 songs are the best thing in the world. And 1 out of 10 songs is like literally an attack on your senses.
Look. All right.
What I was going to say
to you
is this.
The film.
We just watched Emmanuel, The Private Collection, Jesse's Secret Desires. Now, this is technically an Emmanuel film.
Jesse's Desires. It doesn't work. It's too many syllables.
In the canon of Natasha Vermeer. But this is barely her film. She is, mercifully, I'd almost say, reduced to sort of like, she's there so that they can put it under the Emmanuel umbrella. But this is sort of a psychological thriller.
Yeah. It's like someone watched a bunch of Dick Wolf crime procedurals and then was like, I've got it. I'm going to turn this into pornography. First of all, before we get into that though, am I right in thinking, because I messaged you this, I'd started watching the movie a little bit ahead of you. Did you hear Emmanuel singing just a couple of lyrics in the theme song to this one?
Yeah. It was
like she dipped in. It was like 4 lines and then she's out again. She's never done it before.
You got the feeling that they were sort of I felt like she had a lot more freedom in this one. Like I feel like she got to not only choose to contribute to the opening credits, but also how much she was in the film. And she just was finding more entertaining stuff to do around set than act.
Yes, and she made a good decision there because I wouldn't want to be associated with this movie because tonally it's bad. It's not just like a bad film, but it's problematic as well.
Oh, yes.
It was dastardly. This was a film also. I looked at the clock when it was at the 40-minute mark, and I could not comprehend that little amount of time had passed.
It's... It's tricky, isn't it? Because we're always, I mean, it's the nature of the podcast, but we're always showing up with criticisms, no matter how the Emmanuel films in this private collection choose to interpret movie making. You know, we'll always be like, oh, you should have done more of this and less of this. And in this instance, you know, like, good on them for trying to create a genuine movie plot.
But also, you know,
try a little harder, guys. Or if you're gonna if you're gonna do it, at least, I don't know, commit. It was really long, wasn't it? This was hard.
You're right. I see what you're saying, I think, because they did try to double down on making an actual plot in this one.
Mm.
They were like, look, there's a killer on the loose who's after our protagonist, Jesse, who's a Los Angeles defense attorney.
Yes.
And there is a man who she put away. No, she defended him unsuccessfully, I think.
Well, she reduced his sentence. There's a convicted murderer? Was he?
Yeah, I think they did say he was a murderer at some point, which is bad because it doesn't really stack up with the ending. But at any rate, we'll get to that.
He was a convicted murderer who was on trial for 15 years and she got him a reduced sentence to 5. And she lives
in jail for 15.
Yeah. Oh, he was in jail for 15.
Sorry, what you said.
He was on trial for 15. His sentence got reduced to 5 and he was about to get out. And Jesse, the defense lawyer, was sort of understandably somewhat fearful because she'd been receiving aggressive mail and sort of vague threats that he was out for vengeance because he thought maybe he should have been acquitted. I mean, such an incredible move from someone who got a pretty lenient 5-year jail sentence for murder to
really
immediately
is.
Leave prison and start sending threats to your lawyer. And like, if you didn't do it, I don't know if it makes
Jesse's boyfriend very cross.
Mm.
He's very angry about the whole goings on, and he's a fan of rough sex.
Yeah.
And playing a few psychological games. And Jesse herself seems to be in this fantasy that she keeps revisiting in her dreams, which Emmanuel at one point elicits out of her by putting her into a state of hypnosis.
Yeah, so but I think basically the title is Jesse's Secret Desires, and Emmanuel's role in the film is that this defense lawyer, Jesse, has these sort of sexual dreams or daydreams. She has trouble.
She's Latina in them, which is an interesting turn. She's like, I keep having this dream about this woman, but it's me.
Yeah.
And you look at it, it's like, no,
that's definitely
not
you. But yeah, she has these dreams, and then she uses Emmanuel as some sort of dream sex therapist to sort of elucidate what's happening and what it might represent for her real life. So she talks to – oh, my phone's ringing. Sorry, I'm going to ignore that. She talks to Emmanuel maybe 4 times in the movie. And Emmanuel's like, often she's a catalyst for sex or for the introduction of, you know, unknown desires or like people who can't get what they want. She comes in and she meddles and she makes magic. But in this instance, she literally just shows up and Jesse lies in between her legs and she daydreams. Mm. But yeah, let's continue our march through the plot. Can you just pick it up for me? I'm getting lost in the weeds here.
Fuck, I can't remember, man. So she keeps getting sent increasingly intense threats. Someone slashes her tire and leaves a note on her car saying, your throat is next. She gets a porcelain doll. This is a real twisteroo. A porcelain doll sent to her, which is cracked, which is a very terrifying thing to be sent because it does kind of look like her, but it's like head is, you know, caved in because it's porcelain. And she's very distressed by the porcelain doll, but then her boyfriend shows up and is like, oh, no, that was actually me. That was a gift. They were supposed to go easy with this. I told the courier, but the courier fucked
up. Told the courier to take it easy. Meanwhile, in addition to her personal life unraveling, she's taken on a client who's on trial for a murder because of the disappearance of a woman named Anna, who was his girlfriend. They went to a party. He was sort of last seen with her. She disappeared and everyone's pointing the finger. There's a few people out with bad blood towards this guy because there'd been previous relationships that hadn't ended well. Not in an illegal sense, just in an emotional sense. There was some acrimony. Is that the right word?
I love that. I don't know, but I loved it. Don't look that up. Roll with it.
I will.
Acrimony.
Anyway, all of this is happening, and the whole time they're sort of peppering in sex scenes, they're peppering in plot, none of it's convincing, none of it is enough to really make you care, and you're sitting, you know, you're sitting in a 6-year-old's bedroom on a Saturday afternoon, and you're thinking, what the fuck am I doing here? What am I actually doing here?
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
That's what it's
like.
That
is the real question the movie asks. The real question is, what are you doing here? Because I know this isn't the first time I've said this about one of these Emmanuel films, but I don't know how you're supposed to jack off to this. It's too complicated, first of all. They're constantly throwing new characters in there who may or may not be murderers.
They're introducing so many characters who may or may not be murderers, but also may or not have sex in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's almost...
Some of them don't.
It's almost frustrating because someone will show up, you know. A guy will show up and you'll be like, oh, it'll be pretty fun to watch this guy, you know, do his version of softcore sex. And then he's just there to fucking move the story along for an hour and a half. I want to know more about this ex-husband of Jesse's.
Exactly. I want to see her... colleague have sex, which I'm pretty sure never happened in the film.
Also, the guy,
the DA, what is she, a cop?
I don't know.
She's a DA, right? I think she's a DA.
The guy,
I did get a bit lost in this one. Like, they, you know, as stupid as it was also like quite convoluted.
Scale of 1 to 10, how close to attention were you paying to this movie?
Oh, buddy, I'm not gonna lie to you. It was one of a couple windows open. But I really did try hard. I swear I tried.
Yeah. So what's that out of 10?
Good question.
Well, maybe
honestly,
like
6.5.
6 out of 10. Okay. One out of how many windows?
Well, two. Side by side. But the other window had a lot of tabs open.
I see. And what was the... Okay, outside of the movie, what was the most interesting thing that happened or that took your interest while you were watching the movie?
Oh, I was doing boring stuff. I threw a little money your way. I paid some taxes for that money. I was in Photoshop. It wasn't thrilling stuff.
You were doing bills.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet while the movie was on that was funny. Can I read it to you?
I would love to hear it.
It's by an account called @SeanFleek. SHAWNFLEEK. And it said...
And then after this tweet, we'll reveal the thrilling ending of this film's plot.
It said, cool country you've got there. Would be a shame if someone invented a website for ranking hot girls on campus and your mum used it to learn how to poison herself with horse paste.
What? I don't know if I get all the references of that. I feel like I got 2 out of 5.
Basically, it's just talking about how Facebook is responsible for the demise of the American empire.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Zuckerberg gets a lot of credit for a lot of things, but he doesn't often get credit for that. And I think it's about time that leftists stood up and defended our boy.
Defended
Marky
our
Mark
boy.
Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah. Who else could have single-handedly taken down the dastardly American empire?
I see. Yeah. Good on you, Mark.
So look, here's what happens in the end. This is fucked up. The guy who was getting out of jail gets out of jail, comes and visits Jessie when she's at work
by herself.
Genuinely terrifying.
Very scary.
Very scary. She's very scared. And suddenly you're like, why is this porno putting a protagonist in imminent physical danger? And this is after the movie has done a lot of flirting with physical violence in the form of the rough sex that some of the characters engage in as well, which... You know, it's not my particular cup of tea, but if it was, I think there's a bit of permission structure that needs to go into it that this film did not exactly elucidate on much. Anyway, he shows up, the bad man, and then the bad man's like, hey, listen, the reason I'm here is I wanted to apologize. And she's like, what? He's like, yeah, I said some mean things to you in the courtroom and I wanted to come here in person to apologize. And she's like, but you've been threatening my life. And he says, what do you mean? And then the boyfriend shows up and the boyfriend's like, criminal man, oh no. And so he starts punching the shit out of him, lays him out. And then Jesse's like, no, wait, he's a goodie. He came here to apologize. And then everyone's like, well, then why? Who made the threats? And then he's like, I made the threats.
Dun, dun, dun!
And then everybody appears. Emmanuel, the DA.
Yeah, that's all.
Some fucking cops.
Borrowed from Scooby-Doo quite heavily at this point in the storytelling.
It's fucking madness. And then he, so the boyfriend, who is now revealed to be the baddie, who's actually been sending the death threats to his own girlfriend, which is like a very fucked up thing for the movie to just, you know, throw out there, especially at the end.
Maybe fun in an actual movie that is competently told and properly researched.
Yeah, to a level of like the Talented Mr. Ripley, yeah, sort of.
They had a go at thriller. A twist. Good on them.
I guess. But it was an unsafe hand.
It's difficult to masturbate to a twist. It's distracting. It's difficult
to masturbate to a lot of this. So, okay, so this is all going on. So the Scooby-Doo gang have arrived, and then they all are like, oh my God, are you okay, Jesse? Are you sure? Yeah, I'm okay. So a thing that we forgot to mention is Jesse's also got a crush on a different one of her clients who is for some reason in the film. And then he is also part of the Scooby gang.
You mean Russell Wilson?
Yeah, Russell.
He's the guy who's, I mean, he's been accused of murder, but she can't actually engage with that. She's like,
was that the murder of Anna?
Yes, that's him.
Oh man, okay. So, but then was Anna also?
Okay, so this Jesse is when the movie just goes completely off the rails, because the whole time there's this woman called Anna who's disappeared, and then at the end they're like, nah. So the other thing is that Jesse is also Anna, and at that point you sort of just like.
Didn't they literally say, because I think Emmanuel is the one who, Jesse might have bring, some one of those two women brings it up, and it's like, no, I'm Anna, don't worry, I'll tell you about it later. And then that's all they
say, I'll tell you about it later, and you're sitting, I'm saying, tell us about it now. Some of us have to podcast this experience really soon. But yeah, this guy Russell Wilson, who everyone keeps talking about how hot this client Russell Wilson is. He is the most poorly dressed, hungover frat boy of an actor.
There's two things I love about the Emmanuel franchise. Number one is their insistence on overdubbing footsteps. I don't know what it's a metaphor for. I don't know why they do it. But at this point, we must have gone through different sound editors who have picked this up as a specific trope of the series that needs to be respected and honored in every chapter of it. The second thing is their insistence of scripting all these characters, describing characters as otherworldly sexy, and then they turn up and they're like, this is an incredibly average looking person.
It's also like this movie is very pointedly set in Los Angeles. This guy is average looking by New Zealand standards. In Los Angeles, you know, he'd be lucky if he was allowed to rent an apartment. This guy is pig shit.
Yeah. He sucks. He absolutely sucks. And okay, so we'll finish off the movie. All of this has gone on. Jesse is now safe, but obviously very traumatized.
Jesse/Anna.
Yeah.
Probably going to be disbarred because of, you know, an undiagnosed and now recently discovered split personality, perhaps.
Yeah, I guess so. So then everybody leaves except for two people. Client man, who she's got a crush on, and who we formerly thought was the baddie, who's the guy who just got out of jail. Is his name Jack?
No. Oh, fuck. I can't remember. I can't get there. Sorry.
So we'll call him Jack. So hot client guy and Jesse start hooking up because Emmanuel's like, are you sure? Everyone says to Jesse, are you sure you're okay? And she's like, I think so. And they're like, okay, great. Bye. Yeah.
I don't need to be told again. I don't want to be here either.
And then Emmanuel is like, hey, you only live once. She says, go for it, girl. And she leaves. And so then Jesse and the client start hooking up right there and then, moments after a near-death crisis and just finding out that her boyfriend's been threatening her life and slashing her
adrenaline
tires.
Adrenaline does different things to different people.
But that's not even the fucked up bit. The fucked up bit is they kind of play this scene for laughs in a way, because the criminal guy who got out of jail is just behind them the whole time while they're hooking up.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and she's like, oh yeah, sorry, I forgot you were here.
And then he goes, don't worry, I'm used to being invisible, and walks out of the scene.
Which I guess is a reference to his time in jail, where he had to like mind his business for fear of getting shanked or something.
Or
I don't know.
A reference to the fact that perhaps he has the power to turn invisible and belongs in a different movie franchise.
It's entirely possible, to quote a great podcaster.
How would you feel about a softcore porno with an invisible man as the protagonist?
Well, it's all about tone, isn't it? Because that's a funny idea to me, as long as you kind of lean into the comedy of what it would look like.
And you'd have,
but I could see that working. I think that'd be great. In fact, this is almost picture porno territory. I'm kind of loath to get into this before we get our regular guests.
Did somebody say picture porno?
I sure did. George Lazenby, just in the nick of time.
Yes, I'm just outside your window in a mask.
That's very good. Thank you for socially distancing yourself.
Yes.
I'm glad that you've got a microphone, though. That's important.
Yes. I'm recording my own audio offline. I'll send it to you in an email and you can mix all the files together.
Perfect. Appreciate that. George, we were just discussing, Guy brought up a pretty cool premise for a potential pornographic film. Guy Montgomery, do you want to maybe
I'll begin it. I had an idea that I think, you know, you'll be interested in, Tim and I could both espouse on. Can I also espouse? Yeah, sure, George, you can also espouse. Basically, it's about a guy who can turn invisible and he's in a porno. I'm listening. That's where we got to.
I think there might be a Kevin Bacon version of The Invisible Man where this kind of happens, but it gets real dark. I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it.
The movie gets dark.
Yeah, like he, I think, starts like watching people and jerking off maybe because he's invisible.
Okay, well, if the movie already exists, why am I commissioning it?
That's a good question, George Lazenby. This is a sequel.
Yes. Is Kevin Bacon in it?
No, not this time.
Present day?
This time it's starring... have you heard of Timothy Oliphant? He's on Conan all the time, and he's... what's his show? Oh, he was in a weird zombie show that I can't remember the name of, with Drew Barrymore, that was on Netflix, which was really fun.
Oh, yeah, I kind of remember.
He kind of pops up in a lot of things.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
The Santa Clarita Diet, yeah.
That's the series. Yeah. Yeah, he's in the Santa Clarita Diet.
Yeah.
Which isn't a good touchstone, really. What else is he in? He is.
I like that guy. He's got a good energy.
He's in Fargo. He's in The Mandalorian.
Pretty good career.
Yeah. Apparently, he's in The Good Place as himself, which rocks. Oh, he was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's a great get. Anyway, this guy is fantastic. I love Timothy Oliphant. I think he's.
So you're telling me Timothy Oliphant has the power to turn invisible and he goes around watching people and masturbating. Well, how much money do you want to make this movie? Because I am all the way in.
Not this time, because it just hold fire for a second.
I can't. I'm so excited.
The Kevin Bacon one worked tonally from what I hear, because, you know, Kevin Bacon, his reputation of being able to pull off these dark, damaged characters.
Yeah. You know?
Timothy Oliphant, he's a goofy guy. He's a fun-loving dude. We want to keep it a little bit lighter. We don't want to have this dark edge to it that the first one had. In fact, this one is going to be a pornography / romantic comedy. So this will be kind of like a combination of Hitch with Kevin Bacon's The Invisible Man.
So Timothy Oliphant is invisible, and he also coaches men how to be more confident in themselves around women.
What he does is he's a relationship counselor. And so people come to him as a couple.
Can they see him?
They can at the time, because he's able to turn it on and off at will. And so they don't know that he can turn invisible. So he has these consultations, gets some information. And then part of the therapy is they sign a form, which no one ever really fully reads. But he outlines that his methods are a little unorthodox,
okay,
and he may dig into their lives a little bit and, you know, really want to get all the details on their relationship. And because he's so charming and trustworthy, they're like, yeah, 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 that's all good. So what they don't know is that Timothy Oliphant comes and visits you at home like a Santa Claus and turns invisible when you're having sex, and he watches to kind of like glean more information about your physical chemistry.
Yeah.
And then he brings that back into the sessions with them, and he's able to diagnose people's relationship problems even more acutely.
It's called the Christopher Hitchens Santa Claus Invisible Diet. Okay.
Christopher Hitchens?
Yeah.
What's he got to do with it?
I don't know. He's got the word Hitch in his name. Okay, I am all the way in on this. Great.
Because, all right. Well, that's good. George Lazenby, do you know who Christopher Hitchens is? Okay, that's fine. We'll take the check. No worries. Let's not get into it. Hey, great to see you. And I think that this movie's going to be one for the books.
I can't wait to come to it. Okay, George, that'll do.
Bye.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Man.
I've got high hopes for this movie. Quite fun. It sounds pretty rare.
Quite fun to have another guy in the room. Hey, great idea just pulling ideas from a few different places. We could do that with more stuff.
That's how most movies in Hollywood get made, isn't it? It's like Alien. They were like, let's make Jurassic Park on a spaceship.
Most movies in Hollywood get made by someone having a big bag of cocaine next to a computer screen with a list of movies that were made 25 years ago on Wikipedia in front of them.
Man, do you want to know what made me want to do cocaine so much?
Talking to me?
The first hour of Boogie Nights. But do you want to know what made me not do cocaine ever again?
The second half of Boogie Nights.
The final hour of Boogie Nights. That movie's a real roller coaster. You want a movie that's got pornographic elements with an actual story? Get that in you.
Fuck. Was it good?
Yeah, man. It's a good film.
God,
I don't really understand who Paul Thomas Anderson is. I hear his name so much and I'm like, I don't really know what your movies are or what your vibe is.
Have you seen any of the other movies he's made?
What's his
He's made There Will Be Blood.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that
boy,
either.
Paul F. Tompkins.
He's got a great piece of stand-up comedy about it. He made The Phantom Thread. He made is it Punch Drunk Love, the Adam Sandler film?
Oh shit.
Him and Adam Sandler are buddies. And he's married to Maya Rudolph.
Is he?
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh dude, I watched Grown Ups 2 the other day.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Some guys asked me to be on their podcast.
And what was the prerequisite?
That I had to watch Grown Ups 2.
Are you not already overqualified?
Well, I haven't watched it in a long time, you see, Guy.
Well, I mean, either I could find and listen to a podcast in which you talk about Grown Ups 2, which feels totally counterintuitive and kind of gross to me, or you can tell me briefly how the experience was.
Awful.
Oh, really?
And then, yeah, yeah.
I've always thought if I watched it again, I'd enjoy it.
Well, it's hard to tease out what's lockdown and what's not.
Yeah, fair.
You know what I mean?
100%.
But I couldn't say that I enjoyed it per se. I'm actually trying to find that. This is really bad. I can't find the name of the podcast to shout it out, but it's like Diminishing Returns, I think it's called.
Nice. Great name for our podcast.
Yeah, big time, eh? Listen, this movie sucks, and I don't really want to talk about it. And
that's totally fair enough. What have you been doing?
I do want to discuss the footsteps thing with you, though. Did you notice it?
I'm less inclined to observe audio fluctuations and, like, you know, like, unless they're very glaring, and occasionally they are, like, when the levels are off on stuff, I can notice, but, like, I haven't noticed the through line in the Emmanuel franchise, or at least the Emmanuel Private Collection franchise of footsteps. I guess it's like, maybe it is a metaphor that represents hardcore pornography sneaking up in the background of the softcore genre. Maybe the footsteps represent step-sibling porn.
Come again?
I'm just saying, maybe...
Oh, steps. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Well, you disagree? What are you looking at? You're fucking Googling something.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the name of that podcast because I feel bad for not being able to... You know.
So you asked me a leading question while you look for the name of a podcast.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You wouldn't do this to me if I was in the room with you.
That's fucking true, actually. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
It's all right. What do you miss, Tim? Who are you missing?
I feel like I should talk about this movie a little bit. I made some notes.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah. She keeps talking about in her fantasy that there's a man there. And she never, like, corrects the record on this, but it's a woman with pantyhose on her head.
Yeah.
What's that about?
There was a whole lot. There was some pantyhose... cunnilingus, and then there was a woman masturbating with a telescope.
Yes.
But there wasn't a lot of fellas. And look, you don't need a fella to have a good time. I don't need to be the one to tell you that.
Was kind of good. It was kind of good and refreshing. All the dudes in these pornos suck, so I'm all for just making it a big woman fest. But it was just
ally.
Kind of weird.
Hashtag ally over here.
That's hey, me.
You probably heard him and saw him come in. He's the guy wearing a "This is what a feminist looks like" t-shirt. His name's Tim Batt, and he's a fucking ally. Shake his hand. Shake his hand. Say hello. Listen to his opinion.
It was just confusing that they... It was another one of these points that's just is left unexplained. It's like, I feel like it's fine, but then do you discover she's a woman and then you're like, oh, maybe I'm bisexual? Is that because that's a character arc. That's a journey that someone goes on. So put that in the film, but they didn't. They just caused confusion among us, the viewers.
Tim, what if instead of watching these Emmanuel movies, just while we're in this little lockdown, we watched and discussed something that we enjoyed?
Fuck off. Nah.
Really?
Disbarred.
Really?
Disbarred to use it. We're close to the finish line on this shit, dude. We're not far away from clocking off the whole list of Emmanuels we've set for ourselves. I'm going to read you the remaining Emmanuels.
That's going to make me feel ill.
That we have got on our list. Let me bring it up. Now, there are some Emmanuels that were made that are not on this list that we're not going to watch.
Cool. That sounds great.
That's just how the boys are doing it. In fact, Guy, I'm going to take you on a journey. Let me read all the Emmanuels that we've watched so far.
Okay.
Emmanuel. Emmanuel 2, also known as Emmanuel, The Joys of a Woman. Goodbye, Emmanuel, also known as Emmanuel 3. Emmanuel 4, Emmanuel 5, Emmanuel 6, Emmanuel 7. Emmanuel Forever. Emmanuel's Love, Emmanuel's Magic, Emmanuel's Revenge, Emmanuel's Perfume, Emmanuel in Venice, Emmanuel's Secret. Now we're in space. Emmanuel First Contact, also known as Emmanuel Queen of the Galaxy.
I miss space. I do miss space.
Space was a good time. It was a good time. Emmanuel 2, A World of Desire. Emmanuel 3, A Lesson in Love. Emmanuel 4, Concealed Fantasy. Emmanuel 5, A Time to Dream, Emmanuel. This is, when I say Emmanuel for this bit, I mean Emmanuel in Space. One Final Fling, Emmanuel in Space 7, The Meaning of Love. Now, Emmanuel 2000s. Emmanuel 2000, Being Emmanuel. Emmanuel 2000, Emmanuel and the Art of Love. Emmanuel 2000, Emmanuel in Paradise, Emmanuel 2000, Jewel of Emmanuel, Intimate Encounters, Emmanuel Sensual Pleasure, Emmanuel Pie. Emmanuel in Rio, Emmanuel Private Collection now, Sex Goddess, Emmanuel vs. Dracula, Sex Talk, The Sex Lives of Ghosts, Sexual Spells, The Art of Ecstasy, and here today, Jesse's Secret Desires. Next up, it's the Emmanuel Through Time series, which features Emmanuel's Skin City, Emmanuel's Sexy Bite, Emmanuel Through Time, Sex Chocolate, and Emmanuel. Rod Steele and Naked Agent 69. Sex Tales, Emmanuel's Supernatural Sexual Activity, Emmanuel's Forbidden Pleasures. That's it. So we've got like, I think, seven or eight to go. We're just going to watch the Emmanuel's Through Time and then we're done.
What have you learned?
Do you know what? This is probably hot off the back of watching Boogie Nights last night as well, but predominantly because of the season that we're engaged in. I now want to watch good porn.
Oh.
I want to see, what do people consider to be like a fantastic pornographic movie? What is highly revered in the porn world?
Do you mean porn, or do you mean
like a porn movie?
Erotic films. You want a movie that's designed to be jerked off to? Because Boogie Nights is not that.
No. Boogie Nights is like a movie about the porn industry. Or it's, you know, a depiction of the porn industry, but it's not a porno.
Mm.
The cast is fucking crazy in that movie.
Mm. Don't tell me, because I do want to watch it. And I like when you watch these movies and you don't know the cast list. I love being surprised by, like, you know, young this person. Young that person.
You're going to love it. What have you learned, Guy? Let me change my tone. Hey, Guy, what have you learned?
I think I watch less porn. I think... I don't think I've learned anything. I think this has been a punishing journey that has done nothing but take. I think we've debased ourselves and we've generally lowered, you know, like we are now, I would say, slightly more grotesque podcasters. I think we've put ourselves through the ringer, and to what end? I think I've learned that we've made an error in judgment. I think I've learned that some things are best left in the past. I think I've learned that just because, you know, you came of age to a softcore porno film after midnight, you know, on an old Sky decoder as a boy of 13 staying up on a Friday night, that doesn't mean that you should base an entire series of podcasts around that same franchise of films. I've learned that as I've grown older, different things, you know, make me feel different ways. I've learned that, you know.
Oh, hey, dude, there's someone behind you.
No.
Just outside the window.
You're scaring me.
There's a guy. There's a guy with a big erect penis just outside your window.
Oh, it's George.
Oh, I thought it was the other guy.
The boner inspector?
Oh, yeah, sorry, he doesn't have a boner. George does. I got them mixed.
He's just walking by.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes George parades around the property and he undoes the top of his shirt so his boners. This is what I'm talking about. We didn't used to do this shit.
Good God. Well, Guy, I think you might be right on all counts there. And honestly, I think it's fucking funny. I think it's hilarious that we have slightly ruined our own show and tarnished our good names in the community. And I think that it speaks to...
You finding that funny does put me in a better mood.
I think it's brilliant, because
someone
what
is
could be more,
also banging on the door.
What could be more worst idea than, like, you get close to getting a good thing and then you break it. Like, I love that. I think that's fantastic.
Hello?
Oh, God. Hey, come on in. Come on in. Boner Inspector, it's nice to see you. I've got a cup of tea for you.
Thank you. I'm slightly more subdued than usual.
Oh, why is that? What's been going on with you?
Well, it's been raining and I forgot to laminate my boner sheet.
Oh, is that like, is that the bit of paper on your clipboard?
Yeah.
You've got a boner sheet, so you're...
My data's ruined.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry to hear
it's
that.
It's okay. As long as neither of you had a boner today, everything's fine.
No, I was so far from getting a boner.
Did you say if as long as neither of us had a boner today, then everything's all good?
Yes. Big boner today. Huge, big old boner today.
Why? What are you doing?
Coming out my underpants.
Please, I'm having a hard enough time for it as it is. The last thing I need to hear is about someone having a big old boner.
What can I tell you, man? Biggest boner you ever seen in your fucking life. When you're right about
this
it.
This is rough stuff. This is a rough conversation to overhear. Boner Inspector, I'm so sorry. But guys got to tell you the truth, man.
Well, I suppose if you had a big boner, I'll just mentally file it away. It won't go on my official record, so of course it would.
God, you sound so listless.
Yes.
So lacking in love. I mean, life. Joie de vivre.
You're
lacking in
missing
love
all of
life.
Those things. Well, I've not been myself since I got banished from the podcast.
Well, I stand by my decision and I won't be guilt tripped on my show.
I'm going to go walk into a creek.
All right. Bye, Boner Inspector.
I think we shouldn't let him in anymore. And I didn't get a boner. I was just lying to make him feel bad.
I could tell.
I don't know what's going on.
I would have been shocked if you got physically aroused during this movie. I would be very, Tim, very concerned.
Literally impossible. So you're...
There was a lot of nudity and fucking, though. I will say that.
Yeah, it's crazy. You're telling me you don't like my idea of watching something fun and like enjoying each other's company.
That feels like bonus content. That is not instead of. That is as well as. Or to use Boolean logic, and not or.
How many movies did you say we have to watch to be free from this?
I don't know, like 7, I believe. One series left, Emmanuel Through Time.
That's not bad. I can't wait for you to be a parent. And see how you feel about our self-flagellation.
I'll be so tired that I'll just be grumpy for 2 years.
It'll become funnier. That will become funny to me then when you have to, like, when you use some of the precious time you have away from being a new dad to watch this final Emmanuel franchise. That will really get my rocks off.
I think that I'll probably, how will the timing go? There might be a couple of films left, maybe.
What
after the due date?
What?
So maybe I'll be watching pornography with my family.
What
so
better
that I
way
can podcast with you
to welcome your new son into the world, yes, than by sitting down with him,
yeah,
watching some mid-2000s softcore pornography?
100% father of the year material over here.
Absolutely.
Let's end this podcast.
I'm going to buy you a big old mug. And I'm only going to give it to you after you've done that for the first time.
Can you get a bespoke one that says world's best boner on it?
I'll get you one that has printing on both sides. On one side it says world's best dad and on the other side it says world's biggest boner.
You know what would be great merch for us, but we have no ability to make? I don't think you can, like, I don't know who would make these. You know how you can get those ones that it changes when the temperature changes?
Yeah.
So when it's at room temperature, it says world's best dad. But then as soon as you put coffee or tea in it, it says world's best boner.
I love
just
it.
Just to fuck people up at the
office.
I
love it.
All right.
I love it.
That's enough.
And I love
that's
you.
Enough of the podcast for us. If you'd like to support us and get access to some bonus content, jump on our Patreon, patreon.com/TWIOAT.
Please do.
Or if you go to worstideaofalltime.com, there's a little button where you can donate as well, which has become slightly more relevant because of the fact that Guy and I have been prevented from doing the thing we do for a living.
Yeah, but also if you want to check out the tour dates for where I was going to go and when I was going to perform around New Zealand, visit my website, guymontgomery.co.nz. You'll see 19 of the bastards lined up in perfect order.
Are you keeping them? For now, are you keeping the dates?
I haven't done anything to cancel them. They're just sitting there.
You might be all right.
No one who doesn't listen to this podcast knows that it's happening.
Okay, cool. Well, luckily we've only got one libertarian listener to worry about there.
You can imagine. They hate supporting the arts. And they also probably hate being in lockdown. What they're like.
Dude, that person's not in lockdown. That's the funny thing. They should be, but they're not. We'll see you in the next episode where we start the exciting adventure, the final stretch of this marathon.
That does actually feel pretty good hearing that.
Emmanuel through time. Until then, this is Tim Batt saying ta-ta.
And this is Guy Montgomery saying auf Wiedersehen.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.